This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principle.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
This offense will be calibrated with Caleb in mind. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope, we're ripping this thing down to the studs and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
As the offseason goes on, we are looking at individual players. We are looking at position groups. We are looking at the position itself to see if the Bears already have on the roster what Ben Johnson's vision for the roster might be.
And if it's not, what is the profile of somebody that Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles will grab to fill that spot? And let's talk center, a position at which the Bears have failed miserably for many years now, and failing to assign assets to it, thinking that people who are just kind of familiar with the scheme could come in and do. The guy from Green Bay, Luke Getsy, brought in and thought he would just be fine, Lucas Patrick, and that didn't work out. And then wanting Ryan Bates and targeting that, to letting Cody Whitehair be there when he couldn't snap out a shotgun and everybody knew it.
And Sam Mustipher has turned into a serviceable NFL offensive lineman.
Max Rustipher,
him too.
That's how much the other host valued the offensive line.
Well, I that's not fair to Danny.
That's my job.
Danny values offensive line. He sometimes you transfix numbers and names and letters and stuff.
I don't know if he values offensive line, but that's for another time.
That's for another topic for another day.
Yes.
Someone who does is, we're lucky. Like, we might be, as far as radio stations across the country,
yeah,
might be the most lucky or the luckiest when it comes to, we have people who can actually intelligently talk about offensive line
play.
Thank
you, Lawrence. I'm so glad.
Oh, by the way, during the break, a bunch of people hit me up.
What?
Studs wanted me to tell you that he also played center in high school, and he'd be better than you.
What? I'm not worried about that.
And
Studs went to a high school for people under 120 pounds only.
Definitely considering. And then Porth, I asked Porth if he played center in high school.
I'll demolish
and,
him.
And he was like, oh, not in football, but in basketball. And I was like, that's good enough. It's good enough.
And Dustin, of course.
And Dustin played.
Yeah.
So you got a long list of people that
I'm dropping down.
We got to put you through the skills challenge.
I'm fine. I'm ready. Let's have a center combine. Now, that sounds like awesome March radio.
Why not?
Mr. Man. But no, you're right. Olin Krutz, one of the best to ever play the position, a guy who ought to be in the NFL Hall of Fame, talked to us about the center and quarterback relationship. They're both knowledge acquisition positions. They have to work together. Here's Olin on how the dynamic is supposed to go.
When you play center, the processing information with the quarterback, you're in conjunction with controlling the whole offensive line. You're almost like an air traffic controller out there on the football field, telling guys who to block, telling guys who may be blitzing, changing protection schemes, communicating with your quarterback on the sideline, on the field, getting things organized so you don't have free runners at your quarterback, especially young rookie quarterback. But it all depends on how much the quarterback can do. It all depends on how much information he can process, how good he is at that in the pocket. I always tell guys, watch quarterbacks on third down. If they're standing there staring straight ahead, you got a problem. Right, they have to be walking to the line of scrimmage, communicating with the offensive line, letting guys know who may be coming, who may not be coming. The quarterback's first job is to protect himself. That's his first job, is to organize the protection, get guys on the right guys, tell the guys who may be blitzing, tell a quarterback who may be hot. These are things that they have to get together. So as far as the center position, shoving a guy over, all depends how good your quarterback is. When I was in Chicago, I had free reign to change protections, to slide lines different ways, to make corrections in what the quarterback may be doing, because everybody knows the quarterbacks I play with.
I think as a football nation, we've all gotten hip to how important the center is. And that protection element, stuff that Olin's talking about, is the reason why. That guy and the quarterback have got to be aligned. They have to know when and how many times we see free runners this year Caleb Williams. Now, that's something that he'll learn, and he'll learn that he is part of the protection. And I keep having to remind myself that we need to talk about it as the protection and not necessarily the offensive line, because the protection has everyone involved in it, including the quarterback.
Absolutely. And you know what was super instructive to this is our conversation with Nick Allegretti the week of the Super Bowl, who talked about his former quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, being unbelievably great every play, every season, in terms of diagnosing protections and calling that out. And then Jaden Daniels, who as a rookie did not do it until towards the end of the season when he got better at it. But it was the center who did that. And then take yourself back visually to last year, how many times you saw Coleman Shelton being the guy calling out the protections. And Caleb was trying to at times, but it was a lot that he was being asked to do by a very poor coaching staff.
Yeah, that's the thing that it becomes, as we get farther away from it, it becomes more and more difficult to forgive the fact that all of that stuff happened to Caleb Williams in the first year.
Here's Ben Johnson talking about all the sacks that Caleb took. 68 sacks?
68
sacks for Caleb Johnson.
Nice.
Were they each a specific occurrence or not, Ben?
Listen, it's not just the guys up front, but really, he needs as strong of a supporting cast as we can possibly find for him. The guys up front, you can talk about the sacks and whether that was that unit, whether that was Caleb, whether that was the pass catcher. It's really a combination of all of them. And so any sack is really should be taken the onus by the entire unit. And so we do need to get better up front, more consistent play up front. That's probably the best way of phrasing it, because I'm not saying that we need to replace each and every guy that played snaps last year. That is not the case whatsoever. But we do need that unit to play at a higher level, more consistent level over the course of the year. So that'll be a point of emphasis. Feel really good about the O-line coaches we're going to have in that room going forward. Dan Roschar has a lot of skins on the wall. He was in New Orleans for a number of years, and they were absolutely cooking with Sean Payton back in the day. So I'm really excited about seeing him get to work.
I'm really happy that Ben Johnson saw on the tape what we all lived through. So you can have all of your rankings that you want. I'm glad that the head coach is like, nah, this is not going to be good enough for what it is that we want to do. And there might be individual players that can fit and can work, but as a unit, that there needs to be significant change. And that center position is so extremely critical. It sets everything up. It allows for there to be a level of comfort when the quarterback knows, like, in case I miss it, in case I miss identifying where a free runner is coming from or where protection needs to slide to, I know that the guy in front of me is not going to miss it. And it's going to give us the best chance for the rep to work.
Absolutely.
Why don't we take the example of what happened in Detroit?
We always try to look at what Ben Johnson had the last 3 years in Detroit. And he had a first-round draft pick from 2018 named Frank Ragnow, who has been the second-team All-Pro center in each of the last two seasons in the NFL. Second-team All-Pro. He's 6'5". He's 311 pounds, and he's mean as all hell. Dan Campbell was talking about what makes him truly elite.
Every day of the week to prepare, when we have special teams meetings, we have our team meeting, then we go special teams, and during that time, the O-line and golf and the backs come upstairs, and we go over all the blitz looks, and, you know, we've kind of got our whole big screen there, and we go over all of it, and so you're already working through those, and you're working through your base rules, this is what we need to do, this, if we happen to get this look, blah, blah. So they go through that, and it's imperative that Frank and he are on the same page and that they understand there could be these very few looks that haven't shown up since week two. We may need to be ready. If it is, it's a rule breaker and we got to do this with it. And that's not easy. Frank loves that stuff, right? There's some guys that get a lot of anxiety over that. And Frank is not that way. Like, Frank loves that, right? He loves to be tested in that regard. And so, man, to have those guys on the same page, I mean, it means everything to us, especially when you throw it like we're throwing. I mean, it's everything to your pass game, and it's another one of those reasons why we were able to keep him upright yesterday. So Frank prides himself on the mental side of the game. Not only that, protection, but the run game. Like, he wants to give me the game plan, give it to me early. You know, he's, like, many times we hadn't got it spit out yet, and it's, you know, whatever, 4:30 in the morning, you know, and he's on one of our young coaches to, hey, I need this thing now. He prides himself in it, and it's one of the reasons why he's arguably the best center in the league. He is the best center in the league, in my opinion.
So you got him, and then you got Penei Sewell out there.
That'll work.
That's a great way to start. So who do you target if you're the Bears?
Well, Drew Dahlman is the big-time free agent center. It's not a great year for centers. Drew Dahlman of the Atlanta Falcons didn't allow a single pressure in college as a senior at Stanford. The fourth best center in the NFL as of right now, as ranked by Pro Football Focus, probably going to get about $15 million per year.
And doesn't seem to want to leave Atlanta.
Right. According to Orlando Ledbetter, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution doesn't want to leave. But that's like, I mean, do you spend for that guy? Missed 8 games last year with an ankle, missed 3 games in 2023. You now can't spend for Trey Smith, more than likely, as he was told he's going to be tagged by the Chiefs.
I guess the question kind of becomes, do you overspend? Is this someone, is he good enough at a position of need that it's okay if you overspend?
And yeah, I think that's the key question, because the other part of it is, do you put a rookie center with your second-year quarterback who you are retraining to do everything in a brand-new offense?
There's an argument for it, Spiegs, and the argument is they will learn together.
I know.
But I would prefer...
Don't you want him? I want him to have a veteran security blanket. I kind of do.
I would prefer someone who understands all of it already and can help in the learning for Caleb.
It makes me think about Coleman Shelton a little more, because he's good at that part of it. And Olin said he was good at that part of it, at the knowledge processing or the information processing. It's just not strong, nor necessarily a great puller on running plays or those kind of things. But he graded out okay, actually.
If only we had someone that we could talk to about this very thing.
About being a center for like a good young quarterback in year one and maybe year two who's trying to figure it out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that's a weird comp to find.
No, I think we nailed it. If you check the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, Max Unger is now on it.
Let's take a look at the Seattle starters.
Russell Wilson from a whole pack of Badgers.
Marshawn Lynch, Oakland, Ice City, California.
Max Unger, Oregon.
The bench is empty, and arguably the best team in pro football all season has shown it again. They are NFL champions. The Seattle Seahawks have won Super Bowl 48, beating Manning and the Denver Broncos 43-8.
The Seahawks will host the NFC Championship.
Here's Lynch. Marshawn Lynch. He's thrown. Touchdown.
Well, Max Unger and James Carp
Carpenter. You watch them double team the tackle and then work up to Clay Matthews. That creates the lane and the blocking down the field by Lockett. With one timeout and plenty of time, the Seahawks did not have to divert from what they wanted to do offensively. They hand the ball to Lynch. Just an excellent job of finishing off that drive.
Here's the snap. Wilson looking, lofts it deep over the middle, over the shoulder, catches made. Touchdown. Game over. And this championship game goes to Seattle. And let's take a look at the NFC offensive starters.
Max Unger, Oregon.
What a thrill for him. He grew up in Hawaii on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Here we go, fellas.
Max Unger has an All-Pro, has a Super Bowl, played in some Pro Bowls as well, and he joins us now on the Spiegel and Home Show. Max, first thing, do they just grow centers in Hawaii? Because we have Olin Krutz on our show once a week, obviously Dominic Raiola as well, and you too. What are y'all doing out there on the island where you just keep growing centers?
Oh, man, that's funny. That's I was just going to say, you don't need to have me on, man. You got your boy Olin in your backyard. But no, there is a there's a good tradition of playing kind of interior O-line, you know, out here in Hawaii. But, yeah, man, you guys have probably the best one ever in Olin that you get to talk to all the time, which is pretty cool. So,
but we need to figure out from you, Max, and thanks for joining us, like, what's the best fit for young Caleb Williams? Year two for Caleb was really going to be, it's going to have a lot of year one tendencies because he's got a brand new offensive head coach, brand new brain trust, probably a brand new center. So you had Russell Wilson as a rookie and in year two, right? So what was important to that relationship? What did you bring to it? And does Caleb need, or does he need what you gave to Russell?
Yeah, so I actually have, like, quite a bit of familiarity with your new staff that comes in, right? So Roshar coached me in New Orleans, right? And so I have a good idea of what he's going to do. Devan was a peer of mine. He played at Oregon State. He also coached me in New Orleans. And then Zach Cable, who's Tom Cable's son, is quality control there, right? And so, you know, the system that those three guys – ish, you know, Dan in particular are going to bring in. He is a good coach at finding out what, you know, Caleb's going to need, right? And so at the end of the day, you know, you're trying to eliminate as many things as you can for a young quarterback to be successful, right? Half field reads, don't mic the run game, right? All the checks, all the kills, all the alerts, have the O-line do that. And so it kind of allows the quarterbacks to really worry about what, you know, they need to worry about. That's redirecting protection and completing passes, you know, hopefully for half the field, right? And so that's kind of, that was our thing with Russ when we came in. We ran the ball really well, you know, in, I think, what was that, 2012? You know, we ran the ball and we were able to mic almost everything, and he overrode it all with, you know, his protection and stuff like that. So, you know, if you can kind of start there, I think that you're going to kind of be in a good place, right?
That would be awesome if that's the case. Like, when it comes to the spending of time quarterback and center, how much do you think that should happen? Does it need to happen, or is the positional coaching in both places, quarterback and offensive line, good enough? Or do you have to bond with your quarterback?
Yeah, I think it helps. You know, you see offensive lines that, you know, they don't string all five starters together for a season, right? And you kind of see what happens, you know, when that takes place. And you see groups that are able to play, you know, all five guys for the majority of the whole season. And when you're able to do that, it really brings, you know, like the tackles, the centers, and the guards that are able to help the quarterback at the same time, right? I mean, if you have a tackle that can check out the slot and, like, see safeties that are wide and there's potential pressure out there and he can let the quarterback know, it's huge, right? But that takes reps, it takes time. And so I guess the biggest concern is having stability, you know, a core group that can really help Caleb out.
So did you say that Russell overrode it all? Like, that Russell, was he smart enough to take over at some point during the rookie year, and when was that?
Yeah, so what we did, so we, you know, break the huddle, go up the line, the center mics the mic, right? Or, you know, whoever we're going to in protection or in the run game, right? And so at any point, he could override that. But, you know, what we were doing is just taking as much off of his plate as we needed to, right? So we could redirect protection. You know, we could mic the mic in the run game, but at any point he wanted to mic somebody else or he saw something that we didn't, he would override it, right? And so later on, I think maybe second, third year, I think that changed, but we kind of kept that going for a long time. And that was, it was massively, massively beneficial for him just because he didn't have to worry about it, right? You know, as much as we could do that, you know, took stuff that he didn't have to worry about off, it was successful, so.
Got you. So could a rookie center that they draft, Bears have three picks in the top 41, and we're talking to Max Unger, longtime NFL center, yeah, and member of the Seattle Seahawks when Russ was a rookie and beyond. Could a rookie center do what you're describing for Caleb Williams?
Truthfully, it'll be pretty tough. Could he? Absolutely. He would have to rely pretty heavily on some of the more vets in the room. It would be difficult, though. That's the short answer to it. But, you know, it happens all the time, and it just takes familiarity with the offense. You know, this being a new offense that you guys have coming in that you're going to be installing, it probably won't be as insurmountable as, like, some like New Orleans where, you know, Sean and Drew had been together for 16 years. You know, trying to come in and learn that is a lot more difficult than everybody learning the same offense, you know, starting with, you know, the offseason program.
What's important to Dan Roshar?
Dan? Oh, that's my guy. What's important for him? I mean, this is a true pro coach, right? You know, this is a guy that's spent, I mean, I don't even know how long he's coached in the NFL. It's a long time. What's important for him is details, right? He's going to keep these guys in the meeting room for a long time and make sure that you're prepared. I know for a fact that this group will not go into an NFL game unprepared, right? He'll cover everything. And it's just it's a classic pro coach, right? Handle your business, be tough, be physical, and don't have mental mistakes, right? Everything else can be tolerated, you know, and except for mental mistakes. So. But yeah, no, you guys have a good coach coming in, and if anybody, you know, any coaches in the league, any O-line coaches, you know, out there, I mean, I don't think that there's any, you know, better than him. So
Max, have you watched any of Caleb Williams play?
I did, you know, I very casually watched the NFL. I mean, you guys started off, you know, really well, had a kind of a tough slide there at the end, but I mean, he has the things that, you know, it's going to take to win. So
what are you seeing when you see him?
I think he, it's like he has all the tools, right? And it's the best teams in the NFL, obviously the ones with the best quarterbacks, right? I mean, there's exceptions to that. But at the end of the day, you're going to have a guy that can make the throws that need to be made when they need to be made, right? And he showed that he could do that. And I think it's just kind of, you know, you look at any young quarterback in the NFL, there's going to be pretty tough challenges. But I think the encouraging part is that you saw things that, the successful quarterbacks have that he does too. So
there's a couple free agent centers to think about. One is Drew Dahlman from Atlanta, who may not leave there. Another is Coleman Shelton, who was just here. And another is Ryan Kelly in Indianapolis, the former Colts, maybe soon to be former Colts center. Any thoughts on any of those three guys? I don't know if the center community has like a text thread where you guys all stay in touch. Stuff.
No, you know, I don't, man. I didn't know who was going to be free agents or, you know, what the deal is. Sorry, man. I'm not familiar. Good. I don't know any of those guys personally.
Well, let me tell you about this then. In December of 2012, when you and the Seahawks came into Soldier Field, Russell Wilson and you guys just beat the bejesus out of the Bears. It was really disappointing, but it made us sing a Christmas classic that remains a hit to this day.
Russell Wilson looked like an all-pro.
Like, we were shocked how good Russell Wilson looked that day. 9 carries for 71 yards for Russell Wilson in the run game that day. 293 passing. You had it cooking that day. Was that all Russ? Was that all you? Who was doing
that? So we played there, I think,
overtime.
2 years in a row.
That's the overtime game.
That was the overtime game.
Yep.
Was that Sidney Rice? I think Sidney Rice caught one. So that was kind of the first time that we ran, you know, classic read option football, right? Because no one was really doing that, right?
Yes, sir.
And so we got this rookie quarterback and we're like, hey, let's just run some good old fashioned read option. And the defenses in the NFL at that point hadn't really caught up to it. Right. And so it was a little bit of a, you know, curveball. We didn't specialize in that, but Russ is obviously a special player and he was able to do some stuff, man. That was, I do remember that game though.
Max, are you excited that last year we saw a whole bunch of duo blocks come back to the league?
Dude, duo, that's Drew calls that America's play. I mean, it's so funny. You see somebody get, you know, put the two tight ends on the same side or put a fullback over there, and here it comes, sure enough. It's funny, you know, there were teams that didn't really run that play, you know, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. But, I mean, that is the, I think that's the number one run in the league right now, isn't it? I mean, that's some good stuff right there.
So it's funny that you say that because Olin calls it God's play.
Well, so I mean, there's a theory to this, right? I mean, you look at the numbers that quarterbacks are putting up now; they're just lower, right? And they've been lower, and we got these exotic coverages on the back end, right? And so, if you can line up and you can get, you know, 3, 3.5, 4 yards on first down with, you know, in 21 or 12, you're like way ahead of the chains. And I think if you want to play those crazy coverages, you have a harder time stopping like full blown man scheme straight at you. So it makes sense as to why God's play is having a resurgence right now.
Oh man. You know what? After the Bears get their center, whoever they decide it's gonna be, we gotta call you back and talk to you again, Max. This was crazy fun.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me, man. Take care.
You too. That is Max Unger, who won a Super Bowl. The irony, by the way, of you and Shep with that song.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, never an All Pro.
Well, how about that? And you remember at the time, like all of us going, like, why does he look so good? And that's because, like Max said, they sprung the zone read on the entire league, and the league didn't know what the hell to do, starting with the Bears on that day.
Centers are awesome, man.
Thank you.
Centers.
I agree.
I mean, you're part of the club, I guess.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're still low on the rankings.
Man.
That's all right, though. You're high in the rankings when it comes to talking baseball. You're a baseball guy here at The Score.
It doesn't make me feel any better.
It should, because okay. We're going to do a baseball segment next about the Cubs, and you are Mr. Cub.
Yeah, we got to figure...
Well, you're not Mr. Cub. That's Ernie Banks.
let's play two segments the Cubs.
You're Mr. Cubs Talk.
Yeah.
We should put that on a shirt.
Maybe I'll get a statue. We got to figure out who's going to start at second and third for the Cubs when the league opens.
Wait, what?
Which is really soon.
All right, let's get into that next here on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.